Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Here was Joe Espada following yesterday's 8-5 win over the Texas Rangers. Skip, you think you guys may have turned a corner here?
The conversation, and it's a different vibe. The offense coming together and getting big hits and middle relief, getting some outs for us. It feels like we are getting over that hump. But again, you know, we got another good team coming in here, and we need to continue to build on this. Continue to do the small things that we do well. We need to keep doing those things, and if we do, we're gonna be just fine.
If they take 2 out of 3 from the Braves with these three guys starting, Arrigetti, Hunter Brown, and JP France, then I'll feel like something significant has happened here. You know, like then you'll take in 2 out of 3 from the defending world champions, and then you'll take in 2 out of 3 from a team that most people think them and the Dodgers are runaway favorites to win the World Series this year.
I mean, at some point there, I don't think that you can rely on them hitting, you know, 10 runs in 2 of those games each. It would have to be that one of these pitchers steps up and does something. Who knows? Maybe Arrigetti maybe just was shown just how precise you have to be, just how razor's thin the margin is in Major League Baseball. Maybe that's enough. Maybe you see like an absolutely different version of Spencer Arrigetti. I'm not gonna be mad at him if that doesn't happen. He's been pressed into a really unfortunate circumstances. So there's that. I'm not going to complain if the Astros scored 30 runs in 3 games, but I just don't choose to rely upon that.
Yeah, you want to see things. No, I get your point. You want to see things that are sustainable. Like, okay, these, you know, they're standing in, they're winning a 5-4 game against the Braves, you know, where the middle relief had to come in and clean some things up or whatever. Josh Hader looks like the Hader they thought they were signing when they gave him $95 million.
Maybe Bregman's not puking his guts out in the bathroom before this game.
Correct.
Can we get a healthy Brad? I was not a huge fan of Bregman being in the dugout yesterday, by the way. I like, okay, that's great. You've been so deathly ill that you couldn't play baseball, which you know has never happened to you before. But no, just please feel free to mingle about with everybody. Go spend some time in the bullpen. Why don't you? Nothing could happen any worse than already has been. Go infect everybody.
I was thinking about that though as I was driving. I was driving up to an event in Humble on Friday, listening to the Astros pregame or listening. Maybe it was a report. I might have been listening to us here, and it was in the 5 o'clock fire or whatever. But Bregman was going to be missing a game because he's ill. It got me thinking back to like 3 years ago. Like, okay, well, that would have shut down the game. You know, they would have had to postpone the series. You know, they would have had to, everybody would have had to evacuate the clubhouse area. They would have quarantined everybody.
Oh, if it happened during
COVID. Yeah. Like, even the slightest hint of any like stomach bug, it was like, oh, that series is getting canceled. You know,
there was. Let's not forget everybody. The flu does exist. Yeah. Like it's kind of a big deal. All right.
Yeah.
We don't want to. It's not fun to get the flu. I don't care how much you want to prove anything to anybody. Just be careful. I'm guessing that maybe it was the food poisoning or something like that. And
whatever.
Not contagious for them to allow him to be around infecting everybody.
They averaged 9 runs a game without him in the lineup for those 3 games. So, you know, whatever. The Astros, of course, are looking to go to their 8th straight ALCS. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. Headline right above a picture of a crouching Jose Abreu. Why the Astros' path to an 8th straight ALCS appears increasingly problematic. And when you just look at that headline above a picture of Jose Abreu, I feel like I look at that and go, oh yeah, there's the reason. But there are many reasons why. He's got 5 things in here, Seth, and I want you to tell me how problematic you think these things are.
Really an unflattering picture of Abreu. This is, frankly, this is beneath you, The Athletic, but okay.
You think? I don't know. It looks pretty flexible to me right there. He's all crouched down like a catcher? I don't know.
Yeah, no, but they've cut him like mid. His face is just kind of mopey.
Oh,
and
yeah. They're feeding the narrative. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, like, the ability to squat doesn't do it for me, Sean. I don't feel like, oh,
Pilates,
wow, that guy's
dude.
At the apex of professional athletes right there.
Pilates, yeah. Hello. All right. So he lists a few things here that are he's viewing right now as impediments to them getting back to an 8th straight ALCS. Very first one. The signing of Josh Hader, the very signing that we were all hailing as, wow, look at the back end of the bullpen now. Brian Abreu, Ryan Presley, and Josh Hader. Does bring up the point that for that same $19 million, you could have just re-signed Hector Neris, Ryan Stanek, Philip Maton, and basically run it back with the bullpen that you had last year.
Yeah, I guess that would be the tough part. There is 100%. You're exactly right. If you hadn't signed Hader, I think he's a little dismissive about the fact that they could have done just fine without replacing the back end of the bullpen. Because I think he said at one point, "Hey, you'd still have Abreu and Presley." Like Presley is in his upper 30s and started to show a definitive decline last year. You know, it's as simple as that. I don't think you can just say, well, they would have been just fine with Presley at the closer. So I'm not overly critical of them signing Hader and spending that money there. It's just that you didn't then also either just go gonzo into the luxury tax, or you have to go back in time further and say, well, if you hadn't signed Montero, if you hadn't signed Abreu, if you hadn't signed these guys, sure, you could replace a lot of that relief staff without having to spend that much money. They just didn't have the money because they've already spent it on other things.
Yeah, the Hader one for me, I'm not out on the Hader signing yet. Like, Abreu and Presley have been much bigger problems than Josh Hader at the back end so far this year. Abreu and Presley have been miserable so far this season.
Presley's got a 9.53 ERA
okay.
Right this moment.
It got better. It was like 12-something
week. Last year had the highest ERA he'd had in his career. So
yeah, and I think that feeds into what you're talking about with signing Josh Hader. Like Ryan Presley, who's never been a classic hammer at the back end of a bullpen. He's been effective, but he's not like your classic closer. Hader is that. That's down the list for me as reasons why I don't think they're going to – reasons why they may or may not get to an 8th straight ALCS. Second one, miscalculating the depth of your starting rotation. And points to the Snell signing, Rosenthal does, and says that's defensible, you know, just because that was a high-priced signing. But Jordan Montgomery, Michael Lorenzen were still on the open market. The Astros knew they were going to be down Verlander, Urquidy, McCullers, and Garcia at the beginning of the year. Obviously, you can't forecast Framber Valdez, who's been one of the most durable pitchers in baseball, getting hurt even for a little bit of time. But the alternate solutions have been terrible for the Astros. That's the problem.
They've been awful. And at one point, you know, Rosenthal brings up the quote from Dana Brown, if we have a bunch of guys that are similar to the other guys that are available, why go after them? Why pay more money for the same production? I don't know if he said that before or after they knew that they were going to have to move back Justin Verlander's start in the rotation, or, you know, obviously it was before Framber got injured. I think those are two pretty big dudes right there that you're You're relying on Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez. Like, so for Rosenthal to write this article now where they've been without Framber and without Verlander, or without Framber as of late and without Verlander, I don't think that's quite fair. So it's somewhere in the middle.
It's a really foreign feeling, though. Like, that's this organization. I know Dana Brown's only been here for a year and change, but I know as an Astros fan, my feeling was, well, whoever they bring up will pitch just fine because they've always pitched just fine. Like, you know, Framber to Luis Garcia to Jose Urquidy to Christian Javier, Hunter Brown early on.
But like Hunter Brown and J.P. France last year were not, you know, oh, wow, these guys are going to be all-stars in no time soon.
Right.
So I feel like that was the first little canary in the coal mine. And those two big canaries are actually still in the coal mine right now.
I'm less concerned long-term about the starting pitching than I am the bullpen. You get Framber back, you get Verlander back. And I'm not saying Verlander's going to be Cy Young Verlander, but I think this team's going to be good offensively. And I think he's going to give you enough to where you feel decent about that. And who knows what Luis Garcia, and I can't even bring up Lance's name. He's been hurt so often.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The third one here, there's nothing you can do to undo this one. The owner's GM phase. The phase of time between James Click as the GM and Dana Brown as the DM, as the GM, where... honestly, like so much damage got done. You know, Rafael Montero getting $11 million, and obviously the Jose Abreu contract. The Michael Brantley contract was what it was. You're out from under that after 1 year. He was a leader in the clubhouse, whatever. Giving Montero $11.5 million, where now you spent this offseason pinching pennies on the middle relief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you gave a guy $11.5 million, he wound up being terrible last year, and then because of that, you've got to let Neris and Stanek and Philip Maton all walk, not retain a single one of them.
The weirdest thing about the Michael Brantley signing remains that they did it like so early in the offseason. They did it in December, early December or mid-December of that year. You know, you wouldn't go on to hire Dana Brown for some time after that. Like with absolutely no reason to or urgency for it. Like maybe wait a while and see exactly how his shoulder comes back. I don't know. That part of it, it's a weird, even though it's not affecting the team anymore, that's the one that bothers me the most out of all of those. I feel like it was pure sentimentality.
100%. I think he's a Jim Crane favorite. I think Jim Crane likes golfing with him. I think Michael Brantley and Justin Verlander are supreme favorites of the owner. For sure. Here's the thing about the owner's GM phase. This might be the most problematic one based on the conversation you and I had last week about that Reggie Jackson audio. Is I don't know that the owner's GM phase is necessarily over.
No.
I just think there happens to be somebody with the title GM. I don't know how much power Dana Brown has over what the major league roster necessarily looks like. He's got a voice, obviously. But you got Reggie Jackson in there. You got Jeff Bagwell, who at various times throughout his broadcasting stint this weekend sure was talking like somebody who is a member of the front office, not an analyst who's telling you what's happening on the field. There's plenty of that, too. But there was a lot of talk about what we look for and what we look for in this and what we look for in that. That's disturbing.
Yeah, I guess, you know what, it's interesting. I talked to Brandy about that because there was something about that, and I sensed on social media that people get annoyed with that because they're like, yeah, no, it's like it's no secret. Yeah, he's a part of the front office. Like, he's very much involved in decision-making. There's not – we all know that by now, and yet there's something that people find annoying by him talking about we, and I don't know if it's – which is weird because usually – if you have a Hall of Fame player from your franchise and they're talking about it, like, you wouldn't, people wouldn't be upset with that at all. I think it's just that they just so much associate him with the bad moves.
Yes.
That they don't, it's a really strange dynamic where you've got a Hall of Fame player talking about the collective we, and people don't like it. It rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, I think that's exact. I can tell I'm one of these people that you and Brandy are talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm watching the commentary this weekend. And it was a reminder of Bagwell's role in the moves that have blown up in this team's face, you know? And then, you know, Jose Abreu gets a double in one of these games, and now I'm waiting for, like, the victory lap from Jeff Bagwell, you know?
It happened last year. Well, it was while Bagwell was doing one of his commentating stints that Abreu had. He had that little summer surge, remember?
Yes.
And then it all evaporated. And he came back in September and October, and he was really, really good in September and October last year, including the playoffs. But, yeah, you're waiting for the victory lap by Bagwell and dreading it, yes.
Last two. These are reasons why the Astros are going to have a tough time getting back to an ALCS. The depletion of the farm system.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's now coming back to roost a little bit. You and I talked about this last week, like the solutions – are not there to just fix something by calling somebody up anymore, nor are they there to go really trade for somebody. That's probably the biggest thing, is like the assets that they need to go get somebody who's major league ready have really depleted over the last few years.
And that's the part too, you know, with baseball, the draft picks are always tricky because there's so many of them. But I was a little too flippant about the loss of the first and second round picks in 20 and 21 at the time, because I was in a mode of like, they'll go find some Cubans, whatever. Who gives a damn? Ah, these rating systems have had the Astros bullpen in the tank for the last 3 years, and you keep getting Frambers and you keep getting Javiers and all that. But at some point, at the very least, yes, you do get those guys who are diamonds in the rough and end up exceeding expectations, but even like the first and second round picks from 20 and 21 who haven't necessarily worked out as of yet are still valuable trade pieces.
No doubt.
You know, in a lot of potential trades. So you know, a lot of teams are waiting to see how those guys play out and how they develop.
Well, keep in mind, too, that it wasn't just that Latin America infusion that they got of all those pitchers. They were super successful in the draft as well. And we need to be reminded, like, we're talking about a team that has achieved at a higher level than any other team in baseball in the last two decades. You need a ton of stuff to work out to maintain that, not just this facet or that facet. So there's that. The last one that Rosenthal has in here, and this is probably something that's going to be more we hear anecdotally than necessarily see, but knowing what we know about this team behind the scenes the last few years, he talks about the exodus of leadership. You know, you had Michael Brantley, a huge leader, not on the team anymore. Hector Neris was definitely viewed as a leader among those Latino pitchers that we're talking about. Martin Maldonado, as bad as he was at the plate, he was viewed as a leader in that clubhouse. Carlos Correa, huge leader in the clubhouse. So it's a fair point to wonder about this team, like, who's the vocal presence? You know, those are all guys that were labeled as leaders, that acted like, that carried themselves like that.
I'll tell you what, whether it's leadership or something else, there is a part of me that, man, I never used to care about stuff like this, but just the Astros really started the trend, or were one of the couple teams that really started the trend of like over the top celebrations in the dugout, and it feels like they fizzled out with the Astros before, you know, over the last couple years as it caught. You know, last year everybody had a goofy hat that they were parading down through, yeah. Like putting somebody in a shopping cart, all that nonsense. And the Astros are just, in some ways, I actually feel like they're a little too professional at times. Like, almost just like they're like weathered old rock stars. Like, they've been through so many different phases, and there's been so much drama surrounding them that they just want to go out and play. But, like, I feel like they've lost something in that, too, along
the way. We're at a Chicago concert right now. These guys
and they're
are
just
great.
Up there playing yeah. the same old songs
oh,
just as they ever
now.
Played. And,
yeah, it's hard for me to say I'm sorry.
Man. They can get up and perform a concert while going through their shopping list in their head the
totally.
Entire time. Or thinking about what they yes. have to do the next day. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Someone asked, where are Stanek, Neris, and Maton now? Stanek the Mariners, Neris the Cubs, Maton the Rays. That's where they are. That's where they are right now. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Great diaspora of Astros relievers.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, marital advice from a retiree. How long do we think this guy stays retired? That is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.